This is Focus West Michigan for Thursday, May 14, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. John Ball Zoo is committed to delivering a world-class aquarium in West Michigan, but it will not be on the proposed former landfill site in Walker. WGVU's Steve Morrison has more on the decision.
John Ball Zoo leaders have officially pivoted away from plans to build a $400 million aquarium on the former Fenske landfill site in Walker, along the Grand River near Millennium Park. The announcement follows the late April departure of Zoo CEO Peter D'Arienzo. In a news release, Board Vice Chair Mark Janes, who is now leading the site vetting, said, quote, "Through due diligence, we have determined that the Fenske property in Walker does not satisfy our needs, and we will not be pursuing a purchase of that property," end quote. As a federally designated contamination site, the nearly 200-acre tract would require cleanup. Zoo leaders are considering other Kent County properties. The proposed aquarium is seen as a regional transformational development with an estimated $3.4 billion economic impact and $268 million in tax revenue. It's expected to draw 750,000 visitors annually and create 2,500 jobs. Stalled state brownfield development funding is also affecting the project, which was previously touted as opening by 2031. I'm Dee Morrison.
Grand Rapids Aquinas College campus is now internationally recognized as an arboretum. WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us what the designation means for the school.
Aquinas College's Director of Sustainability, Jen Howell, says she got the idea for accrediting the campus as an arboretum during her job interview.
And I could tell that we already have an arboretum, which is essentially a tree museum. So we have about 10,000 trees on campus representing 130 different species, and all but five Michigan native species are represented here on campus.
Under her guidance, Aquinas officially achieved accreditation from ArbNet as a Class 2 Urban Arboretum in February.
So we really had all the components that we needed. So my goal was really just to give a pat on the back to the people that came before me that did really great work to recognize our trees and to hopefully connect people to nature along the way.
To be accredited, a site must provide marked trees, a visitor map, a forest management plan, and an annual public event.
We hope to become this living laboratory where we can foster student-driven research. Research, citizen science. We're hoping to bridge the gap between the classroom and the natural world.
The campus is open to the public. Arboretum maps are available on the school's website. I'm David Limbaugh.
The new Acrisure Amphitheater opens Friday in Grand Rapids, and some say parking is a concern, where to find it and how much it will cost. WGVU's Phil Dawson reports staff at the downtown market say they can ease some of that anxiety.
We have been hearing all about the parking struggles that you may encounter when you go to the amphitheater. Here at the downtown market, we've got a solution.
Instead of driving around searching for a more expensive spot close to the amphitheater, Downtown Market Chief Operating Officer Glenn Delvecchio suggests people park at the market and
walk from the downtown market to the amphitheater.
According to the Downtown Market webpage, on amphitheater show days, parking at the adjacent McConnell lot is $16. In the actual Downtown Market lot, the first 30 minutes are free, then $3 per half hour. In a social media post, Delvecchio walks the half mile to the amphitheater in about 10 minutes.
The walk from the downtown market, just 1,200 steps and a little more than 10 minutes.
There are restaurants and bars in the downtown market where Delvecchio says guests can have dinner, drinks, and dessert before walking to the concert.
Boy, are we excited to have this amphitheater open. We think it's going to be one of the greatest things for our community. See you there.
I'm Phil Dawson.
Mary Freebed Rehabilitation is expanding its footprint in West Michigan with a new outpatient facility now open north of Grand Rapids. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
Mary Freebed East Beltline Northeast is situated to improve access to specialized care for residents in the Northeast Grand Rapids area, Rockford, and surrounding communities. Occupational therapist Megan Jabin is the site lead.
We had a ton of need with patients living out in this area and then further north that just really weren't wanting to go downtown because of traffic and construction and some other accessibility issues. Offering this location out here kept them within the Mary Freebed system.
The center is divided into two specialized areas to streamline patient care. The therapy suite improves physical, occupational, and speech therapy. The O&P suite is dedicated to orthotics, prosthetics, and bionics. The team offers personalized rehabilitation for recovery from injuries or chronic conditions, specialized care for balance, limb loss, and sports injuries, as well as treatment for speech or swallowing disorders and chronic pain. The facility is Mary Freebed's fifth outpatient location in the region. I'm Dee Morrison.
The former head of a Grand Rapids-based nonprofit was sentenced to prison on Wednesday for embezzling more than $1 million from the organization, forcing it to close. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
Dr. Nkechi Eze, the 2018 West Michigan Woman of the Year and a two-time appointee to the State of Michigan's Early Childhood Investment Corporation's Executive Committee, was sentenced to 5 years and 10 months in prison, followed by 3 years of supervised release. She was also ordered to pay $1.4 million in restitution and around $390,000 in back taxes. Dr. Eze was a tenured professor of education and the former CEO of Early Learning Neighborhood Collaborative, a Grand Rapids nonprofit that supported education for low-income children. Federal prosecutors say Eze told ELNC's bookkeeper Sharon Killebrew to create fake invoices used for stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars from the organization. Eze put family members on a ghost payroll, paying them hundreds of thousands of dollars for little to no work and sent money to family in Nigeria. Officials say the 61-year-old also used the money to pay for trips abroad and a family member's wedding. Both Eze and Killebrew pled guilty to conspiracy to commit wire fraud and tax evasion. Killebrew was sentenced in November to 4.5 years in prison and more than $1.4 million in restitution. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Shelley Irwin talks to the host of NPR's TED Radio Hour about her new book, but first, news from around the state. Planned Parenthood of Michigan is asking Governor Gretchen Whitmer for an emergency infusion of $5 million. The organization says that would keep it from having to close clinics and reduce services. We have more from Rick Pluta.
Planned Parenthood of Michigan says federal funding cuts to sexual and reproductive health care by the Trump administration, as well as losing Medicaid reimbursements, have pushed it into a financial crisis. The letter says with a Republican-controlled state house, a legislative solution is not likely, so it is up to the governor to use her executive authority. Planned Parenthood of Michigan president and CEO Paula Thornton Greer says she is turning to the Democratic governor because she is a fervent supporter of reproductive rights.
It is stabilization funding to preserve patient care, to preserve this infrastructure.
But Governor Whitmer's spokesperson says her power is limited under the Michigan Constitution. It is up to the legislature to allocate state funds. I'm Rick Pluta.
Deer hunters will face a slew of controversial new regulations next year, and changes will primarily affect hunters in the Lower Peninsula. After an almost 10-hour meeting Wednesday with more than 50 public commenters, the Michigan Natural Resources Commission voted to limit hunters to one buck per season. The goal is to incentivize the hunting of does and balance out the doe-to-buck ratio. One commenter who spoke in favor of the one-buck ruling, Jason Perry, said antlerless deer need to be the priority for hunters.
This has to be the foundation, not an afterthought and not a secondary step after someone shoots a buck. Antlerless harvest is the only real mechanism for population control. It affects crop damage, cardiac collisions, habitat damage, native vegetation, ecosystem impacts, disease risk, and the overall health of the herd.
There may be a chance for hunters to take a second buck in the future. Commissioners are exploring a potential earn a second buck program, which would require hunters to take a doe before taking a second buck. The new regulations won't take effect until March 1st, 2027. On Tuesday, state officials started assessing flood damage at homes and businesses across the state to build a case for federal relief. Lauren Phillips with the Michigan State Police says officials will visit 30 counties over the next few weeks. Residents in Benzie, Charlevoix, and Saginaw counties should expect to see officials going door to door this week.
They will potentially be leaving stickers on doors if they miss them. Residents do not have to be home for teams to assess the damage, but we do want people to know that this is a legitimate effort.
People are encouraged to take pictures of damage in their homes before they make repairs. It's unclear when Governor Gretchen Whitmer will ask President Trump for a federal disaster declaration. Phillips says this is just the initial assessment. If the federal government grants the state relief, residents will have to apply through FEMA to get their hands on aid money. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. NPR's host of TED Radio Hour, Manoush Zomorodi, has a book out, Body Electric, The Hidden Health Costs of the Digital Age and New Science to Reclaim Your Well-Being. WGVU's Shelley Irwin shares the conversation.
You know her voice. You know her work. TED Radio Hour host Manoush Zomorodi on the line. We're here to talk, about her new book, How about Body Electric, the hidden health costs of the digital age and new science to reclaim your well-being? Lots of hidden and important words in that title. So good to speak with you. Yes, we love TED Radio Hour, and yet you've been doing some writing on the side. Good morning, Manoush.
Good morning, Shelley. Thanks for having me.
It's you. When did you know it was time to write a book?
Oh, boy. You know, I knew when I was feeling like crap all the time, Shelley. It was that sense at the end of a long day on my laptop, and I would close up my windows and then think, I only have enough energy to sort of crawl over to the couch to check my phone or watch Netflix. And I felt like we'd heard so much about the mental health effects of being on our screens too much, being online or social media. But to me, this felt very physical, and I wanted to understand what sitting and looking at a screen all day was doing to my body that made me feel so exhausted and like I couldn't concentrate. And so that is what threw me down the rabbit hole to try and understand the biology about being on our screens all the time and what the solution could potentially be.
Yes, thank you for that. You build on the popular podcast of the same name, Body Electric. So here we are. How did you begin your research?
Yeah, so I heard about a study done by Dr. Keith Diaz at Columbia University Medical Center. And Keith's mission in life is to figure out what is the minimum amount of movement that the human body needs so that it doesn't die an early death. So fun mission. Keith had found in his lab that moving gently for 5 minutes every half hour during long periods of sedentary stretches had an outsized impact. It slashed people's blood pressure, their blood sugar. It brought back their focus. It stabilized their mood. And when I heard this, I was like, Keith, why aren't we all doing this? Why aren't we all just taking these little movement breaks? And he said, you know, come on up to the lab and see what you think, if it's doable. So I did. And it was indeed amazing. I sat on my butt for one day and mm-hmm. did my usual sort of work on my laptop. And I compared that to another day when they saw that my blood sugar was cut in half. My blood pressure dropped by 5 points. My focus and my mood stayed steady. But as he pointed out, you know, we live in a world built around sitting and looking at screens wherever we go. So we decided to join forces and ask public radio listeners, could they try to get these movement breaks into their lives? We had 20,000 people sign up to be part of a global clinical trial. They could take movement breaks 5 minutes every half hour, every hour, or every 2 hours. And then we measured the effects. And we found that 82% were able to stick with it. 80% actually enjoyed taking movement breaks. They saw a reduction on average of up to 28% less fatigue, which was kind of extraordinary. They found also that their mood stayed steadier. They were able to get back to their desks and concentrate again. We actually found that even though people had all these interruptions in their day or their evening, their productivity rose, which was unexpected. So we saw how people could integrate movement breaks in their lives when they understood the science, when they were part of a community, and when they gave it a good old try. And you know, you got to love public radio listeners. They are willing to put their money where their mouth is, right? All the time. So we're so grateful for them for trying it out. And the book goes into how exactly they did it based on life stages. So young people in college versus information workers like you and I who are on screens all day versus people who are older and or retired and have different kinds of schedules.
And you had kind of a one close to you to give you some research too. What, you're always moving mom?
Oh, my mom's the best. She's 82. When I was a kid, she annoyed me because she could never sit still. She always had to move. She was vacuuming or setting up a badminton net in the backyard or taking my little brother and sister out on a boat. She just could never stop moving. And at the time, I did not appreciate it. I was a teenager who just wanted to like sit by the pool or watch a rom-com. But now I see that what she was doing was she was building a life built around movement, which has meant that she has had a healthy life despite a fall a couple years ago. Her cognitive health is sticking in there. And actually, she is a retired geriatric psychiatrist. And so I think what she knew was that our physical health is crucial for our cognitive health. Those two things cannot be separated. So yeah, I have new appreciation for my mama.
It's the hidden health costs of the digital age and new science to reclaim your well-being, the tagline of Body Electric, written by award-winning host of NPR's TED Radio Hour, Manoush Zomorodi. Manoush, a couple minutes left. What is this hidden health cost?
Well, okay, so what happens when we sit? We have to think of our bodies as being kinked, kind of like garden hoses at our waist and our knees. And what happens when you have a kinked hose? Pressure builds up and the water can't flow. The same thing happens in our legs with our blood. So our leg muscles need to be stimulated in order to pull the glucose and the fat out of our bloodstream and in order to push the oxygen up to our brain. And when you don't do that over weeks and months and years, that is when chronic health conditions can creep in, including diabetes, obesity, hypertension, cardiovascular issues, in addition to just feeling lousy at the end of a day. And then there's something called interoception. Interoception is the body's way of sending the brain signals for what it needs, whether it needs a snack or to take off your jacket because it's hot or a movement break. Looking at screens is we're starting to realize that, you know, we're so captivated what's on our screens that we ignore the signals that our bodies are sending us. So reconnecting to that muscle stimulation, reconnecting to what your body needs, those two things, you know, it's tough days out here, right? Lots of bad news. But I think if we can just get a little more movement and a little more joy and a little more optimism into our lives, potentially that can actually go much further than we might expect.
Continue doing the good work you do both behind the mic and with a pen in your hand these days. Body Electric. Manoush, how do we find out more about your work?
Oh, you can go to manoushz.com. That's MANOUSHZ.com. Thank you so much for asking, Shelley. I appreciate your support of the book.
Keep on doing. I'll keep on reading Body Electric. Take care.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Thursday, May 14, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.